Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sports King Show here on iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Mean Gene Sports Machine, and we are getting you ready for Week 7 of the National Football League. And I have a great cast of co-hosts today. As always, joining me from Charlotte, North Carolina, he covers the Carolina Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets for Bally Sports Southeast. Please welcome to the show, Dustin Pfeiffer. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, Gene. Glad to be back on. Hope you're having a good time out in Vegas. And listen, the NFL's in full swing, so we got to talk about some games.
Yeah, we got to talk about some games. And, of course, my other co-host here, guest co-host, joining me this weekend. He's been here just hanging out, having a ball. At some times, he has been out of control, but we have reeled him back in. He covers the Houston Texans and the Houston Astros, so he's really having a great weekend here. And for 97.5 ESPN in Houston, and please welcome to the show, Patrick Creighton.
Mean, woo!
Hey, it's a Dustin. I tell you, man, Patrick, he has been doing that every show we've ever done together. He brings it in the right way, man. But anyway,
I like it.
Hey guys, week 7 of the National Football League here. It just, you know what, Dustin? We said this a couple of weeks ago that, man, it's preseason. Then all of a sudden, it's week 1. Here we are, week 7. Even with a 17 game schedule, the season's almost, I mean, it's in full swing.
Hey, listen, it's in full swing, and like you said, you kind of blink your eyes and it's week 1 and you look up and you're getting to week 7. You're starting to get to some bye weeks and you're starting to get to the point where teams, you know who they are and what they're doing. And now it's time to really see if these teams can take the next step to make the stretch run, because here you're going to blink your eyes again and we're going to be in a playoff stretch run. So we got a lot of teams who are playing some mediocre football. So we're going to have to see what these teams can do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive and get some stuff turned around.
Yeah, we do. And, of course, we're going to get right into the action, because there's a lot to talk about here as far as what's going to be happening here in Week 7 of the National Football League. And you know what? Let's go ahead and start with the first game here on the schedule, and that's going to be the Cleveland Browns 2-4 at the Baltimore Ravens 3-3. As you know, this is an AFC North matchup. Last week, the Browns lose to the New England Patriots by a score of 38-15, and so did the Baltimore Ravens. They lose to the Giants,
the
New York Giants, 24-20. It was a remarkable game, man. And Dustin, what I didn't tell you is that Patrick Creighton is a New Yorker, and you know, hey, even though he's in Houston, man, he's still representing his New York teams. So Patrick.
Hey,
no, go ahead.
Very, very, very impressive. I don't think New York fans for football can really sit back and how long has it been since you've had the Jets and the Giants both with a winning record. So.
Well, you know, real New York fans don't really care about the Jets, so it's really only the Giants. Only Big Blue matters. The Jets are, you know, like kid brother. It's a nice afterthought. You know, we care about the Jets like, you know, Texas cares about Texas Tech. So, you know, they're kid brother. It's nice when they win, but you know, the Giants were mad.
That's great stuff, guys. So, but anyway, hey, so this is a good AFC matchup, AFC North matchup, which this division is pretty much up for grabs right now. You got the Bengals, the Steelers, the Browns, and Baltimore. Anybody could win this division. But, Patrick, I'll start with you. Who wins this game on Sunday between the Browns and the Ravens?
I have questions about what is wrong with the Cleveland Browns. Because I mean, I get Jacoby Brissett, you know, he's really not all that good. Their running game should be very dominant. But their defense is supposed to be good. And they stink. They can't stop anybody. And that's the biggest problem to me is their defense is just getting run ragged. And you can't ask Jacoby Brissett to be putting up 30 points a game. So on the road, I like the Ravens. I like the Ravens getting a win here. I know that the Ravens running back is constantly a revolving door, but it doesn't matter because the only running back that matters is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So I like the Ravens. I am very concerned about the Browns defense, especially their rush defense right now. I don't think they can score enough points to keep up Baltimore.
Dustin, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think Patrick hit it on the head. I've got a couple of fans here who are in Charlotte who are actually from Cleveland and like the Browns, and they can't believe how bad this defense is. When you have a run game like that and an offensive line, and you're expecting that defense to be really good and keep you in games, and you hit it on the head, Jacoby Brissett is not going to go out there and win you games. He's a game manager. But on the flip side, Baltimore's defense has been doing the same thing. They haven't been stopping anybody. That's what I was talking about at the start of the show, Gene. This division, we were expecting Baltimore, Cincy, these teams to really be top tier, and they've been kind of mediocre. So we need to see who's going to step up and get to the top of the pack in this division. And I think being at home, Lamar Jackson, that was a very disappointing performance by Cleveland at home against New England. So I like Baltimore to bounce back and get a win at home this week.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you guys. I think Baltimore should get this win. And probably, you know, will at some point in time take control of the AFC North. And I say that, you know, with my fingers crossed, hoping that my Steelers kind of turn it around. But I am not dumb or stupid, so I think the Ravens are going to win this game.
Well, you know, maybe they're going to turn around from Loserville to Sucksville.
You see what I got to deal with?
Small improvement.
Yeah. You see what I got to deal with. Okay, how about this one, Dustin? Man, look, this is going to be a great NFC matchup. I could be wrong, okay? But anyway, you got the 3-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers, 1-5. And, of course, Dustin, please, me and Patrick, everyone that listens to this show wants to know what happened with Christian McCaffrey and the Carolina Panthers.
Well, we'll get to the matchup in a minute. When you say a good NFC matchup, I'm really hoping you're putting a lot of sarcasm.
I was.
Really not good here. But let's talk about Christian McCaffrey. Listen, you know, everybody hates to see their best player get traded and what he's done. Everybody's very appreciative of the star player he was and what he did for the Panthers. But we have to look at it realistically. I've said this for the longest time. The Panthers have been bad for the last 3 years, and they haven't had a plan to actually build and get better. They tried Teddy Bridgewater. They tried Sam Darnold. Now Baker Mayfield. None of this stuff is working. You've got to build it the right way, get a high draft pick with a young quarterback, a coach who's going to come in and pick his guy. And listen, Christian McCaffrey has been hurt for 2 straight seasons. So him being healthy, his trade value is not going to be higher than it is right now. And if you tell me they get 4 draft picks for him, 3 coming up in this year's draft, where they already have a 42% chance to get the number one overall pick, you're talking about the number one overall pick, 2 second-round picks, 2 third-round picks. I mean, you're talking about that's going to be attractive for your next head coach. So I am completely on board with the move. It finally shows them that they have a plan to kind of rebuild something. And again, they got to get the right guy in here at coach, and they got to draft the right quarterback with the top pick. That's obviously going to be big. But at least they kind of have a plan going in the right direction. So I think it was the right move to get him at his highest value while he's healthy.
Dustin, I give the Panthers credit for this. If you're going to get hosed trading your best player, at least you didn't take back a washed-up bum making $11 million like the Houston Texans.
That's right. And listen, McCaffrey's contract is big, and there is no doubt that he's got some durability issues. So you have to kind of get the value you can for him while he's healthy.
Well, I'll tell you what, I listened to what you said there, Dustin, and, you know, just looking at the change over there in that organization, you know, from the quarterback to coach to now the big trade with the running back here. And how does David Tepper feel about all this? Here's a guy who sort of reminds me of the Clippers owner. I can't think of his name right now, but anyway.
Yeah, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, they just have that they kind of look like each other, actually. But they just have that look, you know, want to win now. And I know Tepper didn't come in there and buy this team to be, you know, setting at 1-5. And where do they go forward, and what is his outlook?
Well, listen, he's got to take a lot of the heat, too. I mean, you come in, you're the second richest owner in the NFL. You come in, you know, he came from the Steelers as a minority owner. He comes in thinking that he's just going to be able to make these quick decisions right away. He overpays for Matt Rhule because he, like you said, he doesn't like to lose. He didn't want to lose Matt Rhule to the Giants. So he pays him $70 million through 7 years, which is a crazy contract for a guy who's never really had NFL head coaching experience. So, you know, he's got to take some heat. He's got to take some heat for these moves to bring in Darnold and Bridgewater and try to just do quick decisions without building it. And so it's going to be really big when he makes that next head coaching hire, because it's going to be big on him, because the fans were not only not happy with Matt Rhule, they're not happy with the owner. So they're tired of this losing, and they want some rebuilding. So hopefully they've got some plan in the right direction. And as far as the game goes, listen, you got P.J. Walker starting, you got No McCaffrey, you got some other guys banged up. It's going to be a bloodbath, and you know Tom Brady and Tampa is going to be angry after another loss.
Yeah.
I expect them to come into Carolina and handle business. And listen, I only see a couple more wins on the Panthers' schedule. I really think they're going to have a very, very high chance of being the number one.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, that should have been undefeated XFL champion P.J. Walker, were it not for COVID.
That's right.
Well, hey, we got to pick this game here, and I think, Dustin, you've already made it clear that the Buccaneers are probably going to come in there and handle business. And, you know, here's another matchup here where both teams are coming off a loss. Tampa lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You see where I said that?
Embarrassing performance.
20-18, even though they knocked out my quarterback, right? And then we have the Carolina Panthers who lose to the Rams 24-10 there. And Steve Wilks, who is the interim coach, will still be looking for his first win. It might come late in the season, but nice to see Steve Wilks get another chance. Yeah. Who you got, Patrick?
Hey, you know what? I give Carolina credit for only giving up 24 points to the Rams last week. They had every reason to just roll over and die. And, the Rams aren't as good as people expected them to be. Those offseason reports about Matt Stafford having a bum arm, boy, they're starting to look like they were real, even though nobody's talking about it right now. It's starting to look like it's real because their offense does not look like it's in sync. They're having problems in the running game. There's another team where the defense is underperforming. But I'm with you. Tom Brady, you're going to get ticked off Tom Brady this week.
Yeah.
You know he's angry with, you know, we saw him yelling at the offensive line.
We
saw him do that in New England. Usually when he did that in New England, the next day, the next game he usually played pretty well because guys knew their jobs were on the line.
Thank you.
I just don't see how with a returning Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette and an angry Tom Brady, I don't see how Carolina's got the firepower, especially without Christian McCaffrey. How do they have the firepower? Baker Mayfield's the worst quarterback in the league. And even if he doesn't play, which he's not going to play, but now you go into P.J. Walker, who doesn't have a whole lot of experience in the NFL. I don't know that P.J. is better than Baker Mayfield. Probably can't be any worse, but that's not going to get you enough points against Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Listen, I know we got to move on during the game, but I never thought when they traded for Baker Mayfield that I would say I want Sam Darnold back. That you're right, Patrick. That's how bad Baker Mayfield's been. And listen, Gene, I know you're going to pick the Bucs, and I'll say this. If somehow the Bucs lose to the Panthers, that's going to run the first headline on every national TV.
Oh, no
doubt.
They're
already all over Tom Brady and the Bucs. So this is, like you said, this is going to be angry Tom Brady. There's no way he's going to have another letdown loss where that's all they talk about throughout the week.
Look, Gene, if the Panthers beat the Buccaneers, I'm going to come back out to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let them shave my head and put my hair on you.
Okay.
Oh.
Man, I'm really
Why did
they
have to put your hair on me?
Now you got to pick the Panthers.
Hey, that's going to make both of us look dumb. See, I don't know if I like that deal. I bet we just shave your head and mean you look like twins, okay? So, you're right. We're going to take, unanimous here, Buccaneers. I tell you what, man, now you guys are going to have me tuning in to this game on my third TV because I want
to. That's gonna be the game where he's watching that game like he's got $500 on it.
Yeah.
Man, right. I don't want to see him. I don't want to have to clean up all that hair mess around here.
I know it. The next game we have, guys, is the 3-3 Atlanta Falcons at the 3-3 Bengals. I think yesterday on the Sports King show, we sort of just played around with some games. I think this was one of those games where we said, well, you know, a win here could just send the team in, the right direction, which would be the winning direction. But surprised with the Falcons getting it done with Marcus Mariota and the rookie Drake London. And, of course, Kyle Pitts finally showed up to get his first touchdown in week 6. But this is a good matchup. The Bengals at home started off rough, and they have bounced back. They beat the Saints 20. I think it was that. No, it wasn't a Thursday night game, but they beat the Saints, though, 20, 30-26. And then finally we got two teams coming off a win. And then the Falcons beat the 49ers last week, a huge win for the Atlanta Falcons. So, Dustin, who wins this game?
Man, listen, we're going to say it again. How many teams are sitting at 3-3, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen this season? And for the Falcons, 3-3 is tied for first place. So, again, we talk about the Bucs. You know, you're trying to keep up with people. But listen, you mentioned the Ravens. You think they're going to win this division. I've been on Cincinnati to win this division since the preseason, and I'm going to stick with them. I think they're starting to find some things. Ja'Marr Chase had a big game against the Saints. I think they're starting to find their rhythm. And I think they're going to get a W against the Falcons. And I think they're going to end up taking control of this division.
I hope Falcons fans really enjoyed that win over the Niners, because that's going to be their signature win this year. Let's just be real. The 3-3, and a lot of teams are 3-3, like Justin said. And some teams have struggled, got a little slow out of the gate. Some teams have you know, exceeded expectations. Joe Burrow had surgery for an appendix through training camp, so he missed like all of training camp. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, so did the Bengals. Will Joey B be healthy? Joey B dropping 500 yards last week. The receiving core for the Bengals is back to being healthy.
Oh, yeah.
This is the part of the season where the Bengals, they have it figured out. They start to take off. They seize control of the AFC North, and they become the team that is ready to rival the Bills and the Chiefs and the AFC once again. And the Falcons at 3-3, they have overachieved. They've won some games they shouldn't. Well, that's all over now. I'm sorry. This is where the Falcons, you know, might win two more games the rest of the year. It goes south hard in Atlanta.
Especially with a pissed off Tom Brady in that same division, NFC South. So I would have to agree. So I think we all are unanimous here in picking the Cincinnati Bengals to get the win on Sunday. So, hey, Dustin, before we talk about the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, which I think is a trap game to some sort, and I explain why. Patrick, me and Dustin, we are in the same fantasy football league now. I'm only going to mention this.
Here we go.
I'm only going to mention this because it's relevant. Because I look, prior to last week, I was 0-5, and Dustin was 5-0. And who won? Over who knocked down the unbeaten last week, Dustin?
Hey, listen. When your team has a lot of guys with the five, you know, you run into a brick wall. But to have a 4-game lead on you, I think I still got a nice little cushion.
Hey, look, man.
Gene was sandbagging, man. Gene was sandbagging. He's trying to lull you. He would lull you into a sleep, making you think his team stink. Now all of a sudden he's gonna start dropping homers.
Look here, man. Wait a minute, Dustin. Dustin, you are a fantasy football professional. You know that when you draft teams, you have to look at those bye weeks because it tells you.
You're right. Derrick Henry was on a bye. My running back was struggling a little bit. But listen, it's all good because I'm still sitting in first place.
Yeah, hey, man, and I'm coming after somebody for week two. I'm going to get my second win in a row. But anyway, let's get back to the 1-4 Detroit Lions at the 4-2 Dallas Cowboys. So what makes this game interesting is that Dan Campbell takes his team on the road. They're coming off a bye, so I don't know how that's going to help him. Hopefully they are prepared. I think they knew they were going to be facing Dak Prescott and not Cooper Rush tomorrow, which I think this is a setup game because I talked about it yesterday. Worst case scenario, Dak Prescott loses to the Detroit Lions and Jerry Jones puts Cooper Rush back in the starting lineup, which would be hella news in Dallas, Texas. But anyway, who wins this matchup here? It looks on paper is ugly. 1-4 at 4-2 with Dak Prescott in the lineup and Cowboys coming off a loss to their arch rival Philadelphia Eagles last week.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I was gonna say Dak is back. And the Lions get whacked.
You heard that, Dustin?
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And I think that's the reason it's not a trap game. It's because they're coming off a loss to their rival. Dak's been out. He's been hearing all this stuff. He wants to come in and show. I mean, he's still the guy, which he saw that last week, Cooper Rush struggled against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. But I think that's exactly why he wants to come in and make a statement and show that they're going to hang around in this division. You know, obviously, I'd like the Eagles to win the division. I think they will. But that's why I think they won't have a trap game. I think Dak comes ready to play. I think they found the game plan, even with Cooper rushing now with Dak, to run the ball and play defense, and they should keep that same game plan. Dak doesn't have to go out there and sling it around the yard, but he can if he needs to. And I think Dallas gets a win pretty easily over the Lions.
Patrick, you just said Dak is going to take care of business and the Lions get whacked tomorrow. So that sounds like a Dallas Cowboy victory.
It's going to be a double digit.
Ooh.
Dallas Cowboy victory.
Ooh.
Now, double digit.
I agree with
look,
that as well.
I placed some bets this morning. And I took the look. I'm gonna look for the purposes of the Sports King show. I'm going to call for the upset, but my money is already on the Cowboys to cover the six. Or it's only six though, so not even double digit. So I don't know, man. I just this matchup spells breaking news to me, man. I don't like it, and I think. The drama in Dallas. Dallas, the Cowboys always known for drama. And what drama, man, it would just be major drama. If Dan Campbell, who, you know, through two or three games in the season, the Detroit Lions had the highest scoring offense in the NFL. Now,
the quarterback's Jared Goff.
I know.
You knew that wasn't going to last. That was a mirage.
Oh, that's down. That's about a mile away from here, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hey. A mile away about where the Lions going to finish behind the Cowboys in that game.
I know. So, hey, okay. So, I'm going to go with the Lions, okay, because I'm just good. Look, I got to back up what I just said here, and I would love to be right. And
You got the Lions in Jerry World.
I got the Lions pulling off an upset tomorrow. That's just what I'm going to say. That's my story. I'm going to stick to it. Next game. Oh, yeah, Patrick's going to love this one. As a matter of fact, I will be tweeting throughout this entire game on Twitter, at SportsKings tomorrow, because this is an intriguing game. The 5-1 New York Giants at the 2-4 Jacksonville Jaguars. Giants beat Baltimore 24-20 in week six. Man, they are just looking fabulous. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, they lose to Indianapolis in the AFC South, so that division is still out of whack. And the game is in Jacksonville, and believe it or not, the Giants are an underdog. Patrick, I'll let you go first with this one.
Wrong team favored. I know the Giants are going to Jacksonville, but the disrespect. They're 5-1. They have beaten the Packers, they have beaten the Ravens, and they're dogs to the lowly Jaguars. Man, I don't know what's going on here, but the disrespect is real.
And it's Vegas.
Don't think Brian Daboll doesn't know that the disrespect is real. Trevor Lawrence has looked like last year's Trevor Lawrence the last couple of weeks, turning the ball over. Like, does he have his own turnover chain? Because he just keep moving the ball over. Here, let me find somebody with a different color jersey than me. Here, please take the football from me because I really don't want it. Their passing game has been kind of a mess. And while they run the ball very well, they don't run the ball enough. And their defense is suspect. Saquon Barkley, now that he's healthy, is everything everyone always thought Saquon Barkley was going to be. He has been absolutely dominant. I don't think the Giants are going to win by 14, but I think the Giants are going to win.
Dustin?
Hey, listen, I agree with everything Patrick said. First, you can't be 5-1 go on the road to a team like that and not be favored. That's just the wrong line. I will give you that. And listen, Brian Daboll's been my favorite hire. I think he's unbelievable. He's done a great job. Easily the coach of the year. Saquon Barkley, amazing. Finally seeing what he's doing. But
comeback
I just feel
of the
like
year.
It's a little bit of a trap game. I just feel like it coming off a big win against the Ravens. And it's not to say that the Giants aren't for real. It can be a playoff team. I just feel like this is going to be one of those weeks they trip up. You said it. Jacksonville's been struggling. I think they kind of bounce back this week. I think it's going to be a very close one-possession game down to the wire. But I'm going to take Jacksonville to get the upset at home by a field.
Oh, my goodness.
The women in Jacksonville are not good-looking enough for this to be a trap game. You can have trap games in Vegas. You cannot
that's
have a
fair.
Trap game in
that's,
Jacksonville.
That's fair.
Oh, that's my fair. Goodness.
That's fair. I think, like you said, they're going to run the ball a little bit. Trevor will maybe make some plays. I still think he's got some skills in him. I mean, they look good the first few weeks. I just think it'll be a close game. Look, that's the kind of games the Giants play. They're always going to be close games, low scoring, stuff like that. So I think the Jags will pull off an upset in a close game.
We have breaking news. Jose Altuve has his first hit of the postseason, ending an 0-for-24 record slump to start a postseason.
And we said it would happen in this series with the Yankees. We've been talking about this a little bit, Dustin, on the shows yesterday. And I, with this 2-3-2 format, I said, hey, the Astros have this team's number. And if any team that Jose Altuve was going to break out against, we already knew it was going to be the Yankees. And so what about that other hit? Did they count that as an official one?
No, they upheld the out call.
Ah, okay, got you. All right, that's some good news there. But, yeah, good series going on there in the ALCS in New York. So, Dustin, you're going to have to be the lone wolf on this Giants-Jaguars matchup. I got to take – look, if the Giants are going to be serious, no one's going to take them serious if they lose tomorrow to the Jaguars. And I don't know how the odds makers put these things together to even give them the favor. Somebody here in Vegas knows something that nobody else knows. But this is a crazy, crazy pick for the odds makers. But I'm going to go with the Giants to get the win. The next matchup we have is the – Indianapolis Colts. This is an AFC South matchup. Going to be at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Indianapolis Colts 3-2-1 at Tennessee Titans 3-2. The AFC South is basically up for grabs. You imagine if your Jacksonville Jaguars win tomorrow, or, you know, the team that you just picked, Dustin, and you know they could, you know, somehow be in first place. You know, maybe tomorrow by the end of the day. So. Who do you like in this matchup of these AFC guys here? And let me just tell you that Indianapolis beat Jacksonville 34-27 last week, and it was the Titans. They're coming off a bye. They haven't played since week 5 when they beat the Washington Commanders 21-17. So who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, the division's up for grabs, like you said. And I kind of like, you know, listen, a slow start for Tennessee, but I kind of like how they've rebounded what they're doing. Derrick Henry is getting back to running like Derrick Henry. Their defense is starting to play better. And listen, the Colts, I'm not really sure how the Colts are 3-2-1, probably because they played the Denver Broncos in a game. And we've seen, listen, if I've seen bad offense from the Panthers, the Broncos are trying to rival that. So I think that's how the Colts got to win. So I just, the Colts are too inconsistent. They're going to be without Leonard again. Taylor's been banged up. So at Tennessee, I like what they're doing. And I think Tennessee's going to get a win and kind of distance himself a little bit in this division. And they're going to show that they're still the team that is kind of at the top of this division.
What do you think, Patrick?
The Colts are maddeningly inconsistent, especially the play of Matt Ryan. And it's strange to think how I thought before the season. You know, you saw how well the Colts played last year, even with Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz so often kind of failed to move the offense. I mean, they blamed him solely for that loss to Jacksonville at the end of the year. And Matt Ryan really hasn't been any better. He's turned the ball over a lot. They haven't protected him as well as you thought they would protect him. As you heard Dustin say, the first couple of weeks, Derrick Henry didn't look like Derrick Henry.
Right.
Well, he's back to being, you know, the lightning battering ram.
Yeah.
And when he's running like that, they are really tough to beat. Yeah. You don't get a whole lot of opportunities. And if you're not efficient, you're going to run out of possessions to catch up to them. At home, I like the Titans at home in a game that I think this is the start of the separation between the Titans and the Colts. The Colts will be playing catch-up the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And like you just said, Patrick, with the separation there, you know, the Titans still are reeling from that, you know, a horrible defeat in the playoffs last year against Cincinnati that just – you know, so if they're going to be taken serious or even be a threat to the Buffalo Bills in the postseason, they got to get this win, and maintain dominance in the AFC South. So I'm gonna pick the Titans to win this game. The next game we have is the 3-3 Packers. Okay, now who would have thought that the Packers would be 3-3?
3-3.
Second place in the NFC North. The Vikings are in first place. The 3-3 Packers at the Washington Commanders. 2-4, and nobody's going to take my team from me, in the words of Daniel Snyder. This game is going to be played at FedEx Field. The Packers lose to the New York Jets last week, 27-10. Big win for the Jets. And then the Commanders, believe it or not, they get the win over Chicago on a Thursday night. Just the ugly Thursday night game. The Thursday night games
every,
are just...
Every Thursday night game is ugly.
Yeah, I'm actually watching old reruns of Home Improvement on Thursday night. But here we go, Packers.
The Bears are a very specific body part. Rhymes last. Yeah, they're an awful, awful team. And really, you have to blame the guys in charge because they constructed a roster that is awful. I mean, they literally put nothing around Justin Fields, almost like they want him to fail. Yeah. And failing he is. Washington, I believe Carson Wentz will not be playing this week. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So that means, who's the quarterback this week? Taylor Heinicke?
Taylor Heinicke.
Man, I don't know. That might be an upgrade. I'm not going to lie. The Packers got to figure out what's going on with their offense because it's almost like last week was so frustrating to watch because how do you not get the ball to Aaron Jones? How do you not get the ball to Dylan? These are the guys. You know, in getting rid of Devontae Adams and then not really replacing him with any kind of established player, okay, they're going to lean on the running backs more. They're going to throw the ball to the running backs more. Mm-hmm. Those are two good receiving backs as well as guys who can, you know, run the ball in between the tackles, get to the outside. You got two really good running backs there. And they were like, yeah, no, we're not giving the goal to these guys at all no matter what. Aaron Rodgers, like, decided we're going to take an L to the Jets. Like he decided it. Is this the week where Aaron Rodgers said, "Okay, I'm done with the losing. I'm gonna try." It's like, is he trying to win a power struggle with the coach and the GM of, "We're gonna do it my way because if we don't, we're gonna lose."
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how the Packers lose to the Giants and then get their heads handed to them at Lambeau by the Jets. So, I have a hard time not picking the Panthers because historically, coming off of back-to-back bad losses. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is getting a win. Doesn't matter who he's playing, he's getting a win.
Yeah.
And the Packers are just so dysfunctional right now. I'm taking the Packers, but I really don't love this game.
Okay.
Yeah, this is one of those where I'm always been one of those guys who say, hey, Aaron Rodgers is going to figure it out regardless of who he's got around him.
Yeah.
But I think there's, even though there's issues going on with the receivers, there's bigger issues going on with this team. Patrick hit one of them on the head. You got to run the ball. I think we got to give the Jets some credit. They dominated both lines of scrimmage in that game.
Listen,
the thing about the Packers that kills me is you put all of your draft capital into your defense, and your defense is not going out there and getting the job done. They said, hey, okay, our receivers aren't going to be as great, but we've got Aaron Rodgers, we've got running backs, and we've made a stout defense to go out here and help us win games. And the defense has been terrible.
Yeah.
And so they've got to figure that out. And listen, I say this the same way I talked about Tom Brady and the Bucks. The Washington Commanders are terrible. They beat the Bears, but that's not saying anything. You got a backup quarterback. If they go out there and the Packers lose this game and lose three in a row like that, it's going to be another top headline, just like it would be if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lose their game. So I just, like you said, Patrick, I can't see it happening with Aaron Rodgers. I can't see them losing this game. So I'm going to take the Packers to win. But boy, like I said, they better not lose, or again, they're going to be the talk of the NFL of what the hell is wrong with Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys, and especially you know, like Patrick said, Dustin, not only do they have two good receiving backs that can catch, they even said that they would be throwing the ball damn near 40-something times a game to the running backs. And we've yet to see it. And I don't know. But I will say, in the defense of the New York Jets, that defense is sound.
They got to get some props.
Yeah, they got to. Yeah, you got to give them some props, man, because they drafted well. They had a hell of a draft. I know I saw it here in Las Vegas, and they are in this defense, man. Hats off to Robert Saleh for putting a competitive team out there and having New York
Quentin
fans
Williams
there.
Absolutely dominated that game.
Yes, hey, giving those New York fans a lot to cheer about there. So yeah, I think it's unanimous here. I got the Packers winning this game as well. All right, the next game. Well, speaking of those Jets,
I can't wait to talk about this.
Speaking of the Jets, it's the 4-2 New York Jets at the 2-4 Denver Broncos. Zach Wilson, 0 interceptions in 2 of his 3 starts this season, and he course, he passed for 160 yards in the last meeting between these two. The rookie, Breece Hall, I'm sorry, rushed for a season high, 116 yards last week. So all good numbers coming from the Jets. Corey Davis, Michael Carter, Garrett Wilson, Braxton Berrios, you name it. The Jets are, they have a household a name team. People recognize these names now on Sundays. And they are playing Russell Wilson, who I do believe will not start.
Brett Rippin will be starting.
Yes, so this is really going to be an interesting game.
You want something crazy?
Who wants this game?
Brett Rippin replaces Russell Wilson. Line only moved to half a point.
Well, listen, and that's why I'm so intrigued by this game, Patrick, to both sides. Because, A, again, we got to give some props to the Jets and what they're doing. Breece Hall has turned into a star already. He looks great. Zach Wilson's not doing anything special, but he's not turning the ball over. When you have a defense like that and a running game like that, that's all you need right now. So you got to give props to the Jets. Hey, listen, we all made fun of Sala talking about those receipts.
Yeah,
now
we
went out there and won games ever since that. So let's give him some props. But on the flip side, I am very intrigued by this Broncos game because, Gene and Patrick, you tell me what happens if Brett Rippin goes out here. Now, I know Russell Wilson's a $245 million quarterback. It's going to be his job. It's not going to be one win, and they're going to replace him. But the Denver fan base has no loyalty to Russell Wilson. He hasn't done anything for them yet. So can you imagine if Brett Rippin goes out here and, you know, not necessarily lights it up, but plays well and helps them win a game and actually scores double-digit points in a game? There's going to be a lot of interesting talk about, damn, how can that happen with Brett Rippin and not with Russell Wilson? And again, it'll be Russell's job. He's making $500 million. But I just think it'll be so intriguing if somehow the Broncos offense goes out there and looks completely different without Russell Wilson on the field.
Is there anybody more universally disliked than Russell Wilson?
No.
And basically just because he's a corny
fans,
ass.
Fans, teammates, nothing. That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. Watching the broadcast – and seeing Richard Sherman lose his mind.
I know.
About, run the ball. Run the ball. And I'm watching this, and I'm just dying. Because, and you knew that. I don't know what it is. But, man, we know from Seattle, the defense couldn't stand him. A lot of the guys on the offense didn't like him. He just kind of comes across as phony and goofy. And corny. And, you know, now he comes to another team, and every time he's like, you know, Broncos country, let's ride. And every Broncos fan is like, man, shut up. Looks fake.
It does.
And, you know, like, if Brett Rippin comes out and their offense is better, fans are going to lose their minds.
Patrick, you hit the nail on the head. You know why Russell was the same corny guy in Seattle, but you know why it worked? Because he was actually playing pretty decent and they were winning. That stuff doesn't work now when you're scoring single-digit points on primetime TV.
Yeah,
getting the job done. Your teammates and stuff are not going to go for that unless you're out there getting the job done.
But listen, guys, you already know the outcome of this game. Look, the Broncos may not win, but that quarterback, Rippin, might play better. And that still will make Nathaniel Hackett and John Elway make a decision here. But back to what Patrick was saying, you guys, check this out. This phony stuff, I used to really think, like, man, this guy's really good. Russell Wilson is really good at handling the media. But over the years, it has sounded so robotic and so fake and phony, like Patrick just said. But here's the thing. What got me was when the game, you know, the game where they wanted to go out with the kicker, to kick a, 60-something yard field goal instead of going for the 4-5. And then Russell Wilson gives a press conference and says, yeah, I totally agree with the call. I'm like, are you kidding me?
He didn't want to throw his young coach under the bus, but you know what? Man, they take another L or two, and that young coach might not be a young coach anymore. He might be an ex-coach.
Yeah. Yes. They're both going to go out on a buddy plan because I know the Broncos do not have to win the game. This quarterback just has to go out there and play good. And you got and the fans are gonna dictate who's gonna be the starting quarterback moving forward.
I'm gonna take the Jets to win this game.
I'm taking the Jets.
A little bit of a believer. I like this defense. Rippin might play better. I kind of want to see it happen just to see what happens. But I like what the Jets are doing, how they're running the ball, controlling the game. So I'm gonna take them to win. And you're right. I don't think Hackett's gonna make it through 1 year with the Broncos. And the thing about Russell is, again, they're stuck with him now for 7 years, and the Broncos
they can trade him.
Have no. They could.
But I don't know who would take him.
Broncos fans, they don't have that loyalty like the Seattle fans get for what he did. So it's just a train wreck in Denver right now. So I'm going to take the Jets to get a win.
J-E-S-T. Jest. They're still going to win.
All right. Fire Marshal Patrick. You know Fire Marshal. What's his name? Bill?
Fireman Ed.
Yeah. Okay, now here's the game. This is the game now. Okay, don't let the records fool you here. It's still a marquee game. It's marquee because, number one, we're in Las Vegas, and Patrick Crayton traveled 1,222 miles to get here to see this game, to be here on the Sports King show. And, of course, he'll be there at Allegiant Stadium tomorrow watching this game.
The Death Star.
And it's the 1-3-1 Houston Texans at the Las Vegas Raiders, 1-4 Hey, look, on paper, this is probably not the game to watch. But in a way, it is, because both teams are better than their record, I would say. I think the Raiders definitely are better than their record when you look at the roster that they have. But Lovie Smith, you got a veteran coach there. Texans coming off a bye, you know, so they've had plenty of time to prepare for this game. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, actually, in their last game, 13-6, and then that was in Week 5. And then, of course, the Raiders are also coming off a bye. That's what makes this game a lot interesting as well. They lose to the Kansas City Chiefs in one of the most just awful decisions you could ever make as a coach. I don't know, analytics or not, it's just stupidity that we're seeing a lot of in the NFL when it comes to analytics. It's the Raiders and the Texans and Patrick.
Let me give my quick pick. And
okay.
Patrick, so
okay.
I'll give all the time to Patrick so I can hear his breakdown of the Texans. So, listen, I want to give the Texans a lot of props because they're in every game they play. For a team that's growing and building like that, it's great to compete, great to be in every game, and it's literally every game's coming down to the wire. So I kind of expect that again today. Tomorrow they've shown that fight. I am going to take the Raiders at home. I think they're kind of getting some stuff going, coming off a bye, bounce back to win. But I think the Texans are definitely going to be in this game, and it's going to come down in the fourth quarter. So I'd definitely like to hear what Patrick thinks.
The Texans will fight. They'll claw. They might not be very good, but they'll give you their effort. That said, their run defense stinks. Josh Jacobs has gone over 140 yards two games in a row. At some point, Derek Carr and Devontae Adams are going to remember who the hell they are, and they're going to start scoring points. The Raiders should win this game. The Raiders better win this game. Or there might be a third calling to the principal's office, and there might not be a fourth. They have to win this game. Now, here's the thing: like for the Texans, because they're 1-3-1, the Titans are the 3-3, and they're the first place in the division. Or Indy's 3-2-1. But because nobody separated themselves in that division, the Texans get a win here. They get a few more wins. Like they're in the mix. I don't think they're going to win the division, but they're in the mix. For the Raiders, you've already got 2 4-win teams in your division. Now, the Broncos are doing everything they can to suck. But the Chiefs and the Chargers, and the Chargers eventually will poop out because they're the Chargers, and that's what they do. Once December comes, they forget how to play football. But in order to stay in the playoff race, the Raiders absolutely have to win this week. Get that second win. They're still going to have a lot of games in division, and they can, make up some ground. Because the AFC has been so bogged down, where the Bills are really good.
Oh, yeah.
And, then it becomes, okay, well, who's the next best team? Well, Kansas City's only 4-2. It's not like they're 5-1, they're 6-0, they're running away. Nobody in the AFC South, nobody in the AFC North is running away yet. So even though the Raiders have gotten off to a slow start, they get a win here, they get things rolling, they can start to build their way back into the playoff race. Because that last wild card, now they have an extra wild card team, that last wild card team might only be 8-9 wins.
That's true.
So if you're in that range, you are at least in the mix. Once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So I think this is, from a matchup standpoint, the matchups favor the Raiders.
Right.
From a pressure standpoint, it is 100% all on the Raiders.
Yes.
They have to win or their season ends on Sunday. Yeah.
I agree. And Dustin, what Patrick is alluding to with the principal's office, it was reported, it has been reported and almost confirmed that when the Raiders were, I believe, 0-2, 0-3, Josh McDaniel did get a call to the office of Mark Davis. And then after the Kansas City loss, and maybe the way they lost that game, he got another call into the principal's office. So the pressure is here. We talked with Richard Boss Bosworth, the CEO here at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. He, you know, somewhat kind of, you know, confirmed that there's some stuff going on here. Raider fans expect more, demand more with this lineup who is healthy. No injuries that we know about anyway.
Besides Waller.
So I'm going to go with the Raiders. But, man, and I this is another one of the games I'll be watching on one of my three TVs because I got to – first of all, I got to make sure I know what the hell Patrick's doing. I got to make sure he's not running wild at Allegiant.
Got me on the closed caption TV.
He's not running wild at Allegiant Stadium. But he might be running wild if somehow the Texans come in here and pull off upset. Look, Dustin, they had a music festival scheduled for today, Saturday, here in Las Vegas. The winds are whipping at around 55 miles per hour, and this festival is supposed to be outside. They have canceled that festival for tonight, so there are already a lot of pissed off people in Las Vegas. Texans come in here and beat the Raiders, and oh man, I can't wait to see what Sunday night is going to look like in this town. I got the Raiders winning as well. Next game, guys, moving right along, we got the 3-3 Seattle Seahawks. Let me introduce this again. We got the Seattle Seahawks without Russell Wilson, but Geno Smith is the starting quarterback. 3-3 Seahawks at the Los Angeles Chargers. 4-2. Interesting game. Afternoon game. Seahawks beat Arizona 19-9. Somehow that defense, Patrick. Yeah, I do. The Seahawks don't have a defense, but they held the Cardinals to 9 points last week, and then the Chargers, they win in overtime over Denver. Ugly 19-16 win there. Patrick, who you like in this game? This is an interesting game, really.
The Seahawks' weakness on defense is the run defense. If James Conner's not playing well, then Arizona has no rushing attack.
That's true.
You know, and you saw the difference in Arizona. No Hopkins. Add Hopkins.
Different story.
And all of a sudden, you know, your quarterback is an MVP candidate. Take him away, and he's a bottom third quarterback. That's just kind of how it seems to be with Kyler Murray. With this game now, the Chargers running attack has kind of found its legs, and Austin Eckler has been getting to pay dirt a lot last several weeks. I don't know how Seattle stops Austin Eckler on the ground in the short passing game, because those are the two biggest weaknesses of their defense. They're a bottom four run defense, and essentially those little short passes, I mean, they're essentially runs. That's attacking the linebackers. And if you're giving up a ton of yardage on the ground in the rushing game, that means your linebackers aren't real good. They're not fast enough. They're not athletic enough. They're not able to get to the ball. They're not able to get to the edge. When you get to those short passing games, those running, same thing applies. If your linebackers are slow, they can't cover. I don't know how they stop Austin Eckler, and when you start trying to add additional resources to slow that down, well, there's big receivers on the outside that Justin Herbert's going to get to. I don't know how Seattle can slow down the Chargers offense enough to stay in the game. I got the Chargers winning this game.
Okay, Dustin.
Yeah, listen, I agree. Seattle's a good story. Geno Smith playing well. You know, I like what they're doing. I'm very happy for Geno and his story. But I like the Chargers. I think they bounce back. They run the ball, and I think they get a win.
Okay. Patrick, good take, man, on that. You described it, awesome, to the T. I agree with that. And I know, and look, and look, we just said earlier, Chargers, this is October. Chargers win games in
Chargers
October.
Chargers win games in October.
In November. So it's December that we worried about. So I got the Chargers. And, yeah, I've been watching Austin Eckler. He's been doing pretty damn good. And, I know
he's been a fantasy monster the last several weeks.
Yes, he has. And Mike Williams, believe it or not, I was never fooled. I know they missed Keenan Allen, but Mike Williams has always been the number two guy, and I knew that he was going to thrive with Allen being out. So I like the Chargers to get this win and prove to what would be 5-2, which would make things interesting in the AFC West.
And let's be fair to Geno Smith, who's playing the best football of his pro career. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to bag on Geno. I'm not trying to say, hey, you know, this you know, the clock strikes 12 on Geno. Geno's playing really, really good football. Mm-hmm. The best football he's ever played as a pro. Their defense stinks.
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll knows their defense stinks. They are going to waste this season for Geno because Geno's going to put the best stats he's ever had. It's not going to matter because they're going to have to ask him to score 30-plus points a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't have the wherewithal as an offense to do that. It's Geno and it's Tyler Lockett. You know, it's DK Metcalf.
That's it.
The running game is sketchy. The offensive line is very sketchy. They don't have the firepower to put up those kind of points. And if you play a team that has a good running game or has a good receiving game out of the backfield, they don't have an answer for it defensively.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go with the let me look at my matchup again. Yeah, I got the Chargers winning this game. All right, the next game we have is a rematch of, I can't remember what Super Bowl it was, but it was just a few years ago, between the 4-2 Kansas City Chiefs at the San Francisco 49ers, 3-3. One hell of a matchup because this is a relevant game here as the 49ers try to take control of the NFC West and the Chiefs. You know, if we just pick the Chargers to get the 5-2, well, the Chiefs are definitely going to try to win this game. It's going to be at Levi's Stadium. And it's an afternoon game there. Wow, Patrick, who do you like in this Super Bowl rematch here between the Chiefs and 49ers?
This is the most intriguing game of the week for me because the 49ers are coming off a bad loss, mainly because, you know, they decided in their infinite stupidity, stupidity, that they were going to, like, they were trying to trade Jimmy G. They would not allow him to work out with the team. They didn't allow him in the quarterback room. They didn't give him a playbook. They basically isolated him. They treated him like he was Deshaun Watson. They isolated him, go work off on the side. Don't come to practice. Don't come in a building. Don't come here. You're not welcome. Trey Lance goes down. Jimmy, buddy, pal, how are you doing? Hey, you know what? We'd love to have you come back and quarterback the team. The problem is, well, he hasn't had any kind of an off season. He hasn't had any kind of a training camp. Mm-hmm. And, well, that's basically what he's going through right now, is he's going through training camp in live games. But the players trust him. The players love him. They know he's tough as nails. He's played through a bum shoulder. He's played through a bum thumb. Mm-hmm. He's gotten them the title game. He's gotten them to a Super Bowl. They know they can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. They're coming off a bad loss, but they just make the huge trade for Christian McCaffrey. There should be a huge boost in that locker room. Ownership is 100% in on us being a championship team. They just went and got us one of the best playmakers in the whole league. They should have that bump. The Chiefs, also coming off a bad loss.
Yeah.
You would expect, okay, well, Patrick Mahomes coming off a loss, he's going to be ready to go. The Chiefs seem to not have things figured out on offense right now. They haven't been able to figure out how they're replacing Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Last week, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was an afterthought. He had like 30 yards the whole game total, mm-hmm. whereas usually they throw him a lot of passes.
Yeah.
They got bogged down, and they haven't quite figured out all the nooks and crannies to the offense. San Francisco's going to bring heat. And if you couldn't run last week against Buffalo, you're not going to run this week against San Francisco. I like the Niners to win this week.
Oh, wow. Okay, Dustin.
Hey, listen, he made a lot of good points, and I think this is going to be a very good game. And you're right. When you get a trade like Christian McCaffrey, that's going to boost that locker room. We'll see if he plays. They said if he plays, it'll just be red zone packages. But can you imagine Kyle Shanahan scheming Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel out of the backfield? I mean, that is going to be a dangerous combination.
It is.
The biggest thing for the Niners, to me, is not only Jimmy G, like you said, but getting healthy. And they are getting four studs back this week. They're getting left tackle Trent Williams. They're getting right tackle Mike McGlinchey. They're getting Nick Bosa. And they're getting their Jimmy Ward all back healthy this week. I mean, that is four guys who make a huge difference on that team. And I think with those guys coming back from injuries and Christian McCaffrey coming in, giving him a boost, even if he doesn't play a lot, I really like the Niners as well. Like, I think the Niners are going to get this win at home and going to be fired up. The Chiefs are going to be right there. They're going to make their plays. But like you said, they've just been a little off. And I think when you go against a defense like this, it's hard to be a little off. And I think the Niners are going to win a close game at home to really get them back on track.
Hey, a Niners win and a Chiefs loss is going to make things interesting in the rematch between the Chargers and the Chiefs in that AFC West. I'm going to go with the Niners as well. A very great team, scary team. And, Dustin, you said it, man. Debo Samuel, McCaffrey, Jimmy Garoppolo's job just got easy, man. Not to mention Jeff Wilson's been holding things down, too. And Kittle back, that, like you said, they're healthy. The 49ers, what, I would not be surprised to see them go deep into the playoffs.
The 49ers getting healthy. You just heard Dustin give you all the guys that are getting back. The addition of McCaffrey. You know, you've already got Debo, who's an elite player. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk has continued to develop and become a reliable team. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the NFC.
Okay.
When we get to the end of the season, they're going to be the favorite in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I agree with
you. I think they're going to be one of the top two. I definitely would still, at this moment, give the Eagles the edge, but you're right. The Niners have the experience. And so when they get there, they're going to have that experience. And again, having guys like Debo and McCaffrey who can line up in the backfield and catch the ball with Kyle Shanahan scheming that is going to be fun.
Yeah, I agree, man. This is just some good stuff, you know, in the making. Don't forget the Super Bowl is on the West Coast. So I tell you what, you would see a sea of red from the 49er fans. What is it, red and gold or whatever colors they have there. But, man, interesting stuff. So keep your eye out on the 49ers. So I think it was that Super Bowl 55. I think that's what it was, if I'm not mistaken, that rematch here between KC and San Francisco. Okay, the Sunday night game, folks. One more game left, and the show is going to be over. So let's look at the Sunday. Okay, so Patrick Creighton, first of all, set me up with this game yesterday. I was not prepared to talk about it until today, but he caught me off guard with it yesterday. And it's the 2-4. And actually, what, technically first place, Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North, 2-4, at the Miami Dolphins, 3-3. And, you know, Dustin, your friend, is coming back. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be your starting quarterback. And this game is in Miami. And who do you like, Dustin?
Yeah, listen, it's going to be an interesting game to watch with Tua coming back. I'm really going to see what he can do coming back from his injury. And listen, that's all we were talking about. We were talking about the Dolphins and how they were one of the top teams. They were upsetting people, and then, you know, all this goes wrong, and they have to go to a third-string quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see. Sounds like Kenny Pickett's out of concussion protocol, and he's going to play for the Steelers. Gene, I'll go ahead and admit it, I was very shocked that the Steelers found a way to beat the Bucs. but got to give Mike Tomlin credit. So, listen, they're still fighting and they're still right there. But I think with Tua coming back, as long as he's healthy and he's kind of, you know, close to 100%, they're going to want to kind of get back on a bounce-back track. And I think they've got a good team to do it. Jalen Waddle's questionable, but I like Tua being back, and I think the Dolphins are going to get a win.
Man, Tyreek Hill just puts up ridiculous yards every week. Doesn't even matter who the quarterback is.
That's true.
I am absolutely terrified for Tua Tagovailoa. Terrified. Because we saw him on a Sunday game look like he had a concussion. Somehow the Dolphins just swept that under the rug. They put him back out there on Thursday. And on Thursday he had a major concussion. Looked like he was having like the seizure type of reaction. And now he's back on the field, and I am terrified because he had two concussions so close to each other that if he takes any kind of significant hit, he might be out of the game again, and we could be talking about, like, permanent career damage. Yeah. I'm really worried about that. I do think that Miami is just a better team, and I think Miami wins, but I don't know that Miami covers. Line on this is, what, 6.5, 7?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know that this is a touchdown game. This might be a field goal game. I don't know how well Tua's going to play, coming off of, you know, basically two concussions in a very short period of time. So, I mean, look, I want Tua to be healthy, and I want him to be successful, but I am very concerned about his health right now. I'm a little concerned about Pickett's health, too. I mean, he had a concussion, and now he's back on the field right away. Mild concussion, whatever. Anytime a guy gets a concussion and then he's the guy who's going to get hit the most, I'll worry about that. But I think that the drop-off from Pickett to Trubisky really isn't that big. We saw last week.
Yeah.
It didn't stop them from overcoming the Bucs. But I'm very concerned about Tua's health. So I think the Dolphins will win, but I don't think they're going to cover the number.
Well, you know what? And I agree about Pickens, especially getting concussions, being a rookie, and just seeing everyone is watching the NFL on how they handle the concussion protocol. I mean, it is under scrutiny for sure. But, both of these guys got something coming. They're coming back off of concussions. But what I think is going to happen here, and I'm going to take the Dolphins in this game as well, I think if Mike McDaniel is smart, they're going to have to find a way to give the ball to Mostert and Chase Edmonds, maybe even get Tyreek Hill coming out of the backfield or something like that. I think they're really going to monitor Tua. I don't think you're just going to see, I know the offensive line is under a lot of pressure to protect this guy, but I would be interested tomorrow in seeing, Sunday night, rather, seeing how the play calling for the Dolphins. I just think you might see a lot of running depending on Pittsburgh's run defense. It doesn't exist since T.J. Watt is not in the lineup, so you can run all over the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. So I expect a big game for Mostert and even Tyreek Hill getting some runs from the backfield there. So I got the Dolphins winning this game. Now it sets us up for is this an interesting Monday Night Football game? Anytime the Bears are playing, man. Look, it's not even about the Patriots right now, who are at 3-3 and at home. Coming off a win at Cleveland, big win at Cleveland, by the way, 38-15. And then you got the Bears coming off a ugly loss between the Thursday night game, the Washington Commanders 12-7. Bears are just not. Who are you picking here?
How do the Bears and the Broncos continue to get on primetime football?
I don't know.
I just can't believe it. But listen, I'll keep this quick. I do want to give some credit to the Patriots. Everybody wrote them off after those first couple of weeks. And then, once again, what does Bill Belichick do with his teams? He's got his defense playing unbelievable. Bailey Zappe comes in and plays great. And it sounds like Mac Jones is going to be available this week, and he probably will play. But Bailey Zappe's made that interesting. And if Mac Jones somehow doesn't look healthy or is struggling, I mean, listen, the defense has been winning games for the Patriots, but Bailey Zappe has been making plays. It's not just him managing the game. He threw for over 300 yards a couple weeks ago, and this kid's been playing. So with all that being said, I just wanted to give some props to the Patriots. I'm not even going to talk about the Bears and their disaster and how they're ruining Justin Fields, because it's not fair to that kid and what he's got around him. And the Patriots are going to steamroll this game on Monday Night Football.
Who do you like, Patrick?
This is a Monday Night Football game that I will probably spend 0 minutes watching.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you that I don't care who the Bears play. I will take whoever the Bears are playing. So in this case, I will take the Patriots. The Bears could have been playing Baylor, and I would take Baylor. Okay? I would take anybody over the Bears right now. They cannot throw the football to save their lives. So Patriots, the points, whatever the points are, doesn't matter. 7.5, fine. I'm taking the Patriots.
Well, hey, I agree. And Dustin, you ever watch paint dry? Nothing happens.
Unfortunately,
right?
I have.
Just
happens.
Watch. That's the Bears. That's what watching the Bears play. Well, hell, I can say the same thing for the Broncos too. And have they played each other yet? Because oh my goodness. Anyway. Yeah, I like it is embarrassing to see what they're doing with Justin Fields, who I don't know. I don't know who his agent is. If you're listening, get him out of Chicago. Get him out of there quick. But anyway, because you're going to ruin this kid's career. I got the Patriots winning this game, and I agree with Patrick. I probably would not be watching this game because usually when I come back from Las Vegas, it usually takes me about 72 hours to recover anyway. And I'll use that Monday night.
And listen, you've got baseball, you got NBA. Now.
Yes. Thank you.
I know the NFL is king, and they're always going to have their ratings. And I know they make these schedules before the season.
Yeah.
But they've got to have, even if it's early in the season. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Use that flex early in the season.
It's unbelievable.
I know. Hey, maybe they might start using the flex schedule early in the season, depending on how things are going. But, hey, guys, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. I know we went a little bit over, but, hey, great stuff here. Dustin, as always, man, thanks for, you know, coming on and being part of the show. You know, we'll be back at it next week for week 8, getting our picks in. And, of course, Patrick, man, I'm almost afraid to leave you here alone, but I know I have to. And I know you.
Especially since the Astros right now are up 5-0 in the sixth. I might be totally out of control tonight.
You know, boss might come in and may not let you come back.
Out.
He may not let you come back Sunday night and stay. He's going to be at the door waiting for you. Wow. Patrick, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on here. It's been a pleasure, man.
My pleasure to be here, brother.
We've had some fun here. So, folks, hey, that's going to wrap it up here for the Sports King Show, your week 7 picks and locks. Do whatever you want to do with them. We hope we gave you some good information there. We'll see you back here next week on the Sports King Show here on iHeartRadio.